doing? It's Zach Kowski.
Adam Henry.
Bobby Jones.
Jeff Jarrett.
Joe Siddle.
TJ Laramie. And
Holy Mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody? My name is Jacob Moore, and thank you for streaming or downloading this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports radio show and podcast. The radio show airs live on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit every Thursday at 12:30 and replays on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. But you can hear every episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast wherever you're listening to it right now, but we are available on every major podcast platform, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts, or you can directly go to windcitysports.com. We also have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all that. Talk about that at the end of the show, as we normally do. But today is Thursday, November 14th, 2019, and it's episode 171 of Wind City Sports. And I'll tell you, a lot can happen in 1 week. I was lucky enough to land this interview, unfortunate enough to lose some teeth if you see it on my Twitter or Instagram, which is why you might hear it's still a little bit of a lisp. I got them fixed up, but it's just not the same. And of course, the country is up in arms with the firing of Don Cherry, and I guess it's a sport podcast, and if we're going to address it, all I'm going to say is that I disagree with the firing, and I agree with Don Cherry, and I stand with him, as you see on social media. I'm going to be continuing to wear my poppy for the rest of the month, not only support Mr. Don Cherry, but to support our veterans, as the reason why we initially wear it. So a big week last week for sure. And it's a pretty big week, actually, so we have a lot to talk about, even aside from our major guest this week. It is CJAM Pledge Drive week, the one time a year that CJAM reaches out to the community for donations and support. We'll hear that more on, obviously, a radio show. Might be doing an extended special this week, and you'll hear more on there. But if you'd like to support CJAM, head over to cjam.ca for more information. We'll talk about it at the end of the show as well. We have some cool local sports news and kind of just cool stories to talk about later on in the show. But without further ado, let's jump into our interview segment this week on Wind City Sports. From right across the border in Detroit, Michigan, if you're an MMA fan, you obviously know who this guy is. And definitely, even if you you know, are a casual fan, and if you watched UFC 244, the Baddest Motherfucker Championship between Nate Diaz and Jorge Masvidal, presented by the one and only Dwayne The Rock Johnson, that first bout on the card, the main card, features our guest this week. Again, from right across the border in Detroit, Michigan, a UFC lightweight fighter. Right now fighting at a TriStar in Montreal, it's Kevin Lee, the Motown Phenom. Man, I haven't been this excited to do an interview in a while, and no offense to the past guest, I just can't believe that AO is able to score him right after that big win, and to talk to a guy from right across the border, grew up there, and has made it to the UFC, and is doing very, very well for himself, and making the big time. So I have a great conversation coming up for you guys with Kevin Lee. I'm really excited for you guys to finally hear it. Feels like it's been forever. I did it last Friday as this podcast dropped. So about 6 days, not even a whole week after his incredibly impressive knockout victory over Gregor Gislepi, however you say his name. Anyway, man, what a stellar fight that was. And I've been trying to get him before, and then after that I was like, I know I gotta try again. So coming up in just a minute is a fantastic conversation with Detroit's own Kevin Lee, the Motown Phenom. We talk about growing up in Windsor, or not Windsor, growing up in Detroit, and then obviously his whole MMA career, as much as we could fit in, you know. I can dig into so much, but it all kind of ties into you know, being a kid from Detroit and doing what he's doing. So there's a lot of specific stuff that we talk about, but in a short time, it's pretty cool that we get to talk about the Detroit Pistons, the Detroit Lions, video games, meeting The Rock, and fighting in front of the president, aside from his whole career. So we're going to get into that in just a minute. But first, I got to tell you about Guard Kimonos. You guys might have seen it on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Wind City Sports is now an official affiliate for Guard Kimono gear. So if you're an MMA practitioner, jiu-jitsu fighter of any sort, or just a hobbyist like myself, and you need a gi, you need some rash guards, I want you to check Guard Kimonos. From right here in Windsor, Ontario, Mike Marchand's new brand, new line of gis and rash guards and beyond. From right here in Windsor, at Takedown Distribution, Mike has made his own line of rash guards and gis called Guard Kimonos. And Guard Kimonos are trending, making its debut at the Abu Dhabi World Championships. by local BJJ practitioner Darian Primo. You can check out on episode 163 of Wind City Sports in the archives. Darian is leaving for Abu Dhabi on Friday and is going to be representing Windsor and Guard Kimonos by wearing our rash guards and gis if she's competing in the gi competition, which I'm assuming she is. So you may have heard her on the show as well or seen her on CTV this past Thursday, I believe. So she's going to be representing Guard Kimonos. Order online from our link. You can find it on Facebook and Twitter, or just go to guardkimonos.com. So if you train jiu-jitsu, wrestling, whatever it might be, you need a rash guard or a gi, hit up Guard Kimonos. But now, without further ado, let's send it over to the Motown Phenom, Kevin Lee. Here we go. Right now on the phone from right across the border in Detroit, Michigan, a UFC lightweight fighter coming off a big knockout victory and performance of the night just last weekend at UFC 244, the Motown Phenom, Kevin Lee. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, yes, I'm appreciate you having me.
Absolutely, bro. So, born in Grand Rapids, but raised in Detroit. Just tell me a bit about growing up. I mean, I've seen your story and I've watched some awesome little videos of you. Just tell me a little bit about growing up.
Yeah, so it's actually like a common misconception for some reason. People think I was born in Grand Rapids. No, I was born in the city of Detroit and raised there. You know, I just started my career in Grand Rapids. But you know, I was born in a city. We stayed on the inner parts of the city. On the west side of Detroit, and you know, I was fortunate enough to where my mom, when I got to a high school level, my mom she made the sacrifices, and we took buses and trains and did what we had to do, and she took me to Southfield High School, which was up in the suburbs. So it provided me with a little bit more freedom, I want to say, to kind of get away from the things that I saw growing up. Mm-hmm. Growing up in the city is rough, you know. It's a lot of nights. We didn't have a lot of money. We had to do what we had to do. We spent some time homeless. We spent some time really in the struggles. And you know, I had a lot of friends who went down other paths. And luckily enough, I had a good support system behind me who I did have to do that.
It's fantastic, man. I mean, obviously, different times for Detroit right now. We're looking over there, and it's fantastic. But obviously, it was a different time probably growing up for you.
Things have definitely turned around, you know, since I've been an adult and kind of went back and seen the city in a different light almost. The city is definitely rebuilding, especially when you start talking about the downtown area. Mm-hmm. and a lot of the surrounding. The actual within the city itself, you know, I grew up on 7 Mile in Evergreen. Those are still a little rough, but I feel like it's getting a little bit better. The more you educate people, and the more you give people resources, and you give people something just what they see right then and there, I feel like it's just going to continue to grow. When we grew up, it was the only thing you saw in terms of anybody who had something that you wanted was the drug dealers and the pimps and the gangbangers, and that's kind of all you had to look up to. But now I feel like the city is starting to turn around a little bit, and it's starting to grow a little bit and starting to give hope to some younger kids, maybe.
Absolutely, man. And I will say, for a person like me, I love going over there and just kind of, you know, enjoying the atmosphere and the place. Like, I love Detroit. I think it's beautiful. And
yeah, I mean, we breed the culture. I mean, yeah. Look, and I don't know if I'm just biased or what, but I feel like there's nothing like being Michigan made. And I feel like, you know, we got that that blue collarness to us, that hard workingness to us, but the actual city itself, I feel like, breeds a lot of culture. When you start looking at the history of Detroit, yes. You start looking at, you know, how much music has been made there, and people just coming up out of nothing and really making something for themselves. It may give me a lot of pride.
Absolutely, man. Music, arts, culture, sports, like, so much history in that city.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, it doesn't end. And I know I was going to save it for the end, but we'll probably get back into it. But Detroit versus everyone.
Always. I mean, and look, that, you know, yeah, I that's been around for years, right? Detroit versus everyone and all that. But the more I've gotten to see other cities, and the more I've got to see other people and other ways of life, like, I never really thought I'd be in this position when growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know what the future would necessarily look like. I wanted to be successful, and that was it, but I didn't think I would ever, you know, go over to China and go over to Japan. Mm-hmm. And step on the other side of the world like I have. But the more I do, the more I realize, like, we all the same, you know what I mean? So, it's Detroit versus everybody, and that's kind of how I feel. It's about in some way or another.
Absolutely. It's kind of representing yourself, but, you know, kind of making those connections and meeting people, like you mentioned, like we're going to get into. Man, you have such a deep story, really. And again, maybe it might be a misconception, but I was doing some research on the internet, and not everything on there is true. But it does say you were kind of, I don't know if you were focused on, but you were more into basketball as a kid growing up before you kind of started wrestling in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. That's kind of how it is growing up in the city. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you always want to be the basketball player for some reason.
Growing up in the bad boys era, too.
It's not a bad thing, too. I mean, we had the Pistons, especially around the time of you know, I was 15, 16 when you start to figure out what you want to do and starting to become, I'm not going to say a man, but, you know, you starting to become a little more mature. It was, we had the Detroit Pistons. That was like 2004, 2005. We were winning everything. So I was like, man, I want to be that up there. The Lions, not so much. You know what I mean? I think it was by the time they went like 0-16 that year or something. And I was like, okay, football ain't it. But, but when I found wrestling and I found when I found the UFC, you know, I'm a little different than a lot of fighters that kind of wrestle and then they kind of use MMA to continue their careers. Mm-hmm. I found MMA first, and then I just used wrestling to kind of get me there. But MMA was kind of what drew to me.
Okay, well, tell me a bit about that, because I thought it was the complete opposite of what you had mentioned. Figured you kind of introduced to martial arts as a whole through wrestling. So what was your first introduction to it?
No, I saw Bruce St. Pierre and BJ Penn was the first fight I ever saw. And, you know, it was just one of those things. I'm in my room, like, after school or something, and, you know, you're kind of bored. You're kind of flipping through channels. You're seeing what you can see. And I saw that, and I saw BJ Penn first, and for some reason I had this natural curiosity about it. I was like, what the fuck are they doing? You know, it's like it was so different than boxing or anything else that I had seen. I had no idea that I could be able to do it, but it's just something that drew to me. And I remember the first time I told my dad, he was like, what are you crazy? Like, you don't get it. You couldn't even do it. You know, it's such outside of our realm of possibilities at the time. But it's just something that stuck with me.
Yeah. And probably gave you some motivation too, as well, telling you that you were never going to make it there. Now look at you.
That's true. That always has been a thing in my life. If you tell me I can't do something, I'm probably going to want to do that shit. And I'm probably going to prove you wrong, prove myself wrong. Because those doubts was even in me. I can remember looking in, you know, I'm about 15 at the time, and I saw, like I said, BJ Penn, and he was competing at 170 pounds, and I was maybe like a buck 50, and I was like, man, I don't think I'm ever going to be big enough to be able to do this. I don't even know if I ever will be 170 pounds, and then look at me now, like, I can't, it's not big enough for me.
That's too great, man. I mean, and obviously at one point in time, you decided to go more into that route of MMA. It looks like you were recruited or at least you were in university there at Grand Valley State, and you're on the wrestling team, but decided to step away and pursue martial arts or mixed martial arts more specifically, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, wrestling did allow me to be able to go to college, you know? Like I said, I didn't necessarily... At that time, when you're that age, you don't necessarily know exactly what you want to do. You know, I just had a vision of how I wanted my life to go, and going to school was definitely one of them. It got me out of the hood, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It got me out of the situation. It broadened my horizon so much. So wrestling, I kind of used to do that, but my passion was still MMA. And for the first 2 years of college, I fought as an amateur and competed in wrestling. And then once I went professional in 14. I just stopped wrestling and mm-hmm. was like, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, and then it just took off for you, it looks like. I mean, not too long after that, you did a bunch of pro fights and then made it to the UFC. So everyone's story is a little different and unique how you kind of get there. So tell me, you know, kind of that road to just getting the call or however it kind of came to be for you.
Yeah, so I'm pretty much just a broke college kid. you know, as there's been a lot of stories of or that, you know, just come flat broke, living out of the gym at this point, you know, not trying to take out too many loans because I don't really understand how that worked either.
I feel you, man. I feel you.
Yeah, and at the time, it's like they're offering me $1,000 to go up to Montreal and fight somebody. I'm like, hell yeah. And that time, it was like $1,000, $2,000. Like, I'll fight any man on this planet right now for that. So, you know, I kind of just did that and slowly built until I got about 7-8-0 and kind of showed some real talent. And it was, I was getting ready for finals, actually, December of 13. Getting ready for finals, going into my last semester of college when I got the call that I'll be in the UFC, and didn't go back for the next semester. I said, all right, we going all in.
Yeah, we made it, right?
And the rest of the history from there. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, shit works out the way it's supposed to, I think.
That's awesome. That's life, man.
I mean, you know, it's a journey. It's been a journey since then, and I'm just trying to build on top of it. You know, I feel like every year is just, it gets a little bit better or a little worse, and you gotta make adjustments. And I feel like that's what life is all about. It's just, this just happened to be how my story played out, but, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So let's get a little bit into your UFC career, at least. So you kicked things off in 2014. The great fight against Al Iaquinta and rematch last year. Would you say that he's like your marquee rivalry in the UFC?
He's the one that kind of bite at me mm-hmm. the most, if that makes sense. You know, I don't necessarily say he's my marquee rivalry. I mean, I've got a lot of those and a lot that people kind of look at me at. You know, my fight with Chiesa was great, and we probably will do another one in the future. Tony Ferguson is definitely going to be an ongoing rivalry. You know, he's probably the toughest guy that I faced. But Al is, he's one of them ones that he's like one of those hurdles that you got to try and jump over. So, yeah, I say for me personally, Al is that one that they get me the most.
And that was your first fight in the UFC, as mentioned. It looks like just after that is when you headed off to Vegas, started to look to improve your game. I think that's where you landed with Extreme Couture, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I mean, so immediately right after that fight, you know, I lost that fight. It was my UFC debut. I don't really feel like, I guess I was a college kid at the time, and I didn't take it serious enough, and I didn't really train for that fight the way a professional should. So after that is when I had some decisions that I needed to make. Do I really want to pursue this? And if I do, I can't stay in Detroit. I can't stay where I am. I would have loved to, you know, my roots are there. So, but I just knew I needed to make some changes. Ended up going out west, bringing over my mom and dad and my brothers with me because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to have them still there and me going on and trying to do bigger and better and not bring my people with me. That just didn't sit right. So, you know, I feel like it worked out the way it's supposed to. And, mm-hmm. and when I hooked up with Extreme Couture and Robert Paulus, he was the main reason why I stayed. It made a lot of sense, and it drove me a lot further in my career.
Absolutely. I mean, it's part of the sport too. You know, you got to improve for yourself as much as possible. And recently, you moved to TriStar. The place is full of high level athletes, martial artists, and especially like jiu-jitsu fighters, kind of what they're known for. So, how has it been there so far, and how has it been beneficial for you?
It's been amazing you know, a lot of things have kind of gone on since then. You know, I moved to Vegas, like I said, mostly for Robert Paulus and his guy. And when he passed away in October of 17, I spent about a year of being really lost and misunderstood. And, you know, I fought Al Iaquinta again and lost a really close decision to him. And I feel like because I didn't have that head coach in my corner, you know, I was missing that piece to the puzzle. When Robert committed suicide, it left a big hole for me. So once I had a little rough moment that I had to kind of go through, but once I got to the other end of it and I realized, hey, I need a head coach. I need somebody that I can listen to, that I can feed off of. I feel like I did that in going up to Montreal and working with Barraza Hobby. And that's who in my corner not, and that's who really, I got to credit most of the victory to him on Saturday is because he was that voice for me. I didn't need to think for myself. It made it that much easier for me to go out there and get my job done.
It's very cool, man. By myself here, I train, actually, and my brother's a black belt, and a bunch of people from our gym have gone over to TriStar and only heard good things about it, man. It seems like it's just the place to be, eh?
Yeah, it's real cerebral, you know what I mean? Their approach to the game even caught me up by surprise. I knew he was real intelligent, and he kind of looked at everything with a keen eye, but he was just more cerebral than I thought, and it fit good for me because I'm already got the rah-rah. I got enough of a dog in me. Now it's just about me getting smarter and working a little bit better, and I feel like that's what it's really helping me with.
That's cool, man. And of course, all of the listeners, or most of them, if not all of them, seeing your video of you heading up to Montreal. So I'm sure you're a big video game guy. Yeah. What kind of games do you like to play?
Right now, I'm stuck on Call of Duty.
They
made this new one where, man, it's fucking amazing. It's getting to the point where we're not gonna be able to tell what the TV show and what the video game is.
Yeah.
This new Call of Duty is off the chain, so I'm stuck on it. I like to bounce between a couple different games, though, to be honest with you.
Yeah, for sure. Can't really stick to one.
Yep.
Get bored.
But in my Tesla, yeah, it's usually the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
I've been a big Nintendo fan for forever. You know, Zelda is the one for me on there. They can't tell me to use Zelda. So I might be riding in that and playing the game.
Yeah, I'm tempted to get one myself. Anywhere you go, man, it's perfect to pop up.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, man. But talk a little bit more about rivalries, as we were talking about before. I'm sure you got one person or definitely thing on your mind right now for your next upcoming few bouts, at least. But are you one of those guys that likes to kind of revisit rivalries at all? I mean, you're always one to bring a lot of entertainment to your fights, and we actually had a kid on here from Windsor, Kyle Prepperlick, said he'd even like to fight you again. You guys fought a long time ago. Are you one of those people that would like to kind of rematch if the time is right and stuff like that, or are you just always looking ahead to the next biggest thing?
Yeah, sure. That might be I think we are two different points in our career right now.
Yeah.
but sure. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a competitor, and I like to fight the best that's out there. I remember that fight with me and him. We fought down in Indiana, and that was the first fight where I really kind of got loose almost. I think I finished him in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a fight that kind of woke me up, and sure, yeah, if he gets up there, if he keeps winning fights, and he makes it to competing for a championship, well then yeah, by all means, I want that man. But
there we go.
I want the best in the world.
Yeah. We're going to get into what's next for you, but just talking a little bit about that, Detroit-Windsor connection, if you will, I suppose. I was kind of surprised at the time that you weren't featured on UFC 218 in Detroit. I know you were just on 216 2 months before, but did you kind of want to be a part of that card in your hometown? Or?
Yeah, honestly, that's the fight that I kind of thought would make a lot of sense. Versus Tony Ferguson in there when we fought for the lightweight title. I felt like that would have made sense in Detroit. He's from Muskegon, which is on the other side of the state. But, I let them make the move. And, sometimes you get the call, I'll fight the man anywhere. So it didn't really bother me too much. I was in the building for the fight. I think it was Holloway versus Aldo the second time.
Yep.
Was that fight. So they put on a hell of a show. But one day, I'm going to go back and headline Little Caesars. That might even be my next fight. I never know.
Yeah, you never know, man. That would be so cool to kind of bring it full circle in a sense and just have a big time bout for the UFC in your hometown.
Yep, no doubt. I mean, it's something that's gonna happen. It's not even.
It's almost inevitable.
It's not even a question of if anymore. It's just a question of when and when's the right time. And I feel like I got to get that belt. And once I get that belt, it's always been a goal of mine. Go back to my city. And wave it around in the air and show kids that come from the same place where I come from, same streets that I kind of grew up on, that you can get it done, because we don't get a lot of that. And in the city, especially in the dark, the downtown and everything is starting to light up and starting to get a lot better. But in the dark, not a lot of those kids got hope. And I hope one day Mike can do that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So you kind of feel like, you're that example of, if I can do it coming where I've came from and what I had, then you can do it too, kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, not even an example, but just
proof,
motivation, I guess. Yeah, proof. I like proof better than example, even. Just, you know, yeah, we are some of the best in the world. You know, if don't nobody else tell you, well, then, you know, you can tell yourself that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's true.
Absolutely, man. And again, a kid from Detroit. You touch upon it yourself a little bit, but your career, I'm sure, has given you the ability to do and see some interesting and amazing things, even outside of the octagon. So you got the fight in Ireland and Brazil a few years back. So I'm sure it's cool to be traveling.
Yeah, I mean, just to touch some of the soil that I have is just, it's like I said, it's something that I never really, really pictured. You know, I kind of had hopes and dreams, and just like any other kid, but you know, you can't really picture it. When all you know is just kind of what's around you. But it's been fucking amazing, and I can't wait to... I think it's just going to get better and better and better. I can't wait. You know, if you would have told me, even a year ago, if you would have told me that I knocked a dude out in front of the President of the United States who showed up 30 minutes before the fight, you know what I mean? And that's going to be the fight that he remembers forever. This is the first fight he ever seen, and I knock a dude out in front of it, and he goes... And I'm etched into his memory. I would have told you fucking crazy, but look how things have went. You know,
I'm sure that's
crazy.
True. Yeah. Did you get to meet him or?
I didn't. You know, Secret Service. They all over,
yeah,
over everywhere. And honestly, I didn't even really try too hard. Like,
yeah.
I made my point. You know.
Yeah. I think you did enough.
I feel like I made my point.
For sure, man. What about The Rock? Or did they have Secret Service all over him too?
I did meet The Rock, which was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, you growing up as a kid, like, everybody wanted to be The Rock, you know, especially because he kind of looked like me a little bit.
Yeah.
I felt like, until I met the man and realized how big that motherfucker is. He's way bigger in life. I felt like as a kid, he kind of looked like me, kind of braggadocious too. To meet him was just crazy.
That's so cool, man. Fuck, that's so great. But obviously recently, as we're talking about, just last weekend, UFC 244, it was a huge event, a huge knockout for yourself over Gregor Gillespie there. I can't even say his name anyway. And as you mentioned, got your eyes set on the title now, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Tony Ferguson is getting ready to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov. They'll probably fight in springtime, something like that, and I'm gunning for the winner. A lot of fans want to see me fight Tony again. I felt like if I would have really been healthy for that fight, I would already be in that position. But, you know, that's a fight I'm looking at. And then Khabib, I've been wanting to fight for years. So either one of them, whoever's mm-hmm. the best, that's who I want.
That'd be two. Either one would be fantastic, man. And, you know, as we approach the new year, I can only assume big things are coming for you on the horizon. As we had mentioned, this is only the beginning. And with everything that you've been through in your life and your career, I'm sure it's just grateful to be going day to day, living the dream as a martial artist. Again, a kid from Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it's all about, you know. It's the day to day. You're gonna have big moments like last Saturday is gonna come up, but from day to day, I just try and get a little bit better, and I feel like that ends up that's my main goal. That's my main focus, you know. And it didn't matter at what level you're going to do it at. It's just, I'm just trying to get better. That's all. So it's amazing to do that more than anything.
Absolutely, man. That's what it's all about.
No doubt.
All right, bro. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this, man. It's a fantastic conversation. Again, a kid from right across the border in Detroit, living that lifestyle, a UFC superstar. Thank you so much, man.
Of course, my man. I appreciate you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Motown Phenom, Kevin freaking Lee on Wind City Sports. Man, that was awesome to talk to him. Again, just the timing of it, coming right off of that big win and that being in my head for certainly a little bit. And then being able to talk to the guy on the phone was very, very cool. Thank you so much to Kevin for taking the time to do that and Combat Sport Assistant for helping out. Man, that was a great conversation for myself to take part in, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. We have a lot more news to talk about, including some MMA news at the end. We do have another local pro MMA card coming up soon, featuring actually some past UFC fighters as well, and many local and surrounding area MMA fighters, martial artists, whatever you want to call them. But we're going to kick things off with our Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week. Usually we do this before our interview, but we had to tell you about Guard Kimonos. Again, episode 163, you can listen to Darian Primo, who's taking off to Abu Dhabi on Friday to represent Canada in the World Jiu-Jitsu Championship. So last week from the men's and women's basketball teams, our Lancers Athletes of the Week were Kaylee Anna Gustopoulos and Taloi Smith. And this week, again from the women's basketball team, is Eve Wayesu, a former Wind City Sports guest, and from the cross-country team, Joshua Martin. Eve had a tremendous weekend for the Lancers on the court. The third-year guard put up combined 38 points with 13 rebounds in the Lancers' weekend split in the GTA. Against Ryerson, Eve led the team with 18 points and 5 rebounds, and then followed that up on Sunday with another team high of 20 points and 8 rebounds. Meanwhile, for the second straight meet, Josh led the Lancers' men's team, I suppose, to another impressive finish. At the U Sports Championship this past weekend, the fourth-year business major placed 7th overall with a time of 31 minutes and 4 seconds to help the blue and gold to a 5th-place finish overall. Two spots ahead of their 7th-place ranking heading into the championships. Josh's 7th-place finish also is a huge, tremendous improvement from his 2018 result where he finished 82nd overall. So congratulations to Josh on that big jump and to Eve on becoming our Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week. And now here's something on Wind City Sports we don't normally do, but this is our kind of heartfelt social media post of the week, I suppose. Back in the summer on episode 152, we had Screwy Todd St. Louis on the show. He's born here in Windsor. He played in the OHL. I played for a few teams and then wrapped it up with the Spitfires, actually, before going off to pro. He played in a few pro leagues, the CHL, and I believe the... I think it's SOHL, another defunct league. So he played some pro hockey, and throughout his whole time, he was an enforcer, you know. But he came on the show and told some colorful stories from OHL's past and obviously talked about his whole hockey career. A guy was born here in Windsor, grew up in Tecumseh. He played pro hockey and then ended up in Texas, where he ended up retiring and is still living there now. He's working on the oil fields. Pretty cool. A kid from Windsor again, so... we got to highlight his story and shoot the shit, and he told me some pretty funny stories, as you can hear on episode 152. But in case you missed it, Screwy returned to organized hockey for the first time in, I want to say, over almost 20, maybe 20 years. I don't know. No, probably about 15 years since he's been playing pro. And he joined the Fort Worth Barracuda in the Mountain West Hockey League. It's an expansion team, a new team added to a fairly new league, a semi-pro senior A league that I believe actually Matt Lashoff is playing. I've seen his name on Elite Prospects. But Screwy returned to organized hockey, obviously to play his role, as you can see on our social media. He put a cool little post out of himself, just talking about, you know, why he decided to return and all that stuff and what his role is. But it's cool for him to get out there again. As we talked, hockey is a lot of fun no matter what might happen, including injuries and losing teeth. But he gets to do it all over again at home in Texas, and gets to do it in front of and I guess for his family. His kids get to see him and his wife gets to see him play. So shout out to Screwy. I just thought that was cool. Something that it's not really new news, but I figured to give him a shout out. It's pretty cool for him. You know, again, a kid from Windsor, an enforcer, a goon, and he's back on the ice. That's pretty cool. But speaking of hockey, we have no Spitfire games this week. They're home next Thursday as they take on the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. They are coming off a loss. They snapped their 7 or 8 game winning streak in overtime on Sunday at the WSU Center. They're going to be on the road tomorrow night and Saturday night. Check out WindsorSpitfires.com for more information on the schedule, and I believe you can watch the games, stream them on yourtv.ca. And finally, for our fight fans out there, I know I had to leave it to last, but Prospect Fighting Championships is returning to Windsor. They did a pro event back in June, and they're going to be doing it again on Friday, December 6th at the St. Denis Center here in Windsor. Tony and TJ Laramie from MPC will be fighting again, pro MMA fighters, as well as the UFC veteran Elias Theodora from right here, not right here, but from Mississauga, Ontario. He has been announced to be fighting at the event. We also have a lot of local MMA fighters and martial artists, including Central Combat's own Megan Owen, And a lot more from Windsor and the surrounding area. So that's December 6th. Check out prospectfights.com for more information on tickets and all that. And before we wrap it up, there's one more important thing that we need to talk about, and that's CJAM's annual pledge drive. Right now I'm looking at one of the fall fundraiser donation forms. And this is the one time of year that CJAM kind of reaches out to the community and to the public to ask for donations and support to make up. Now it will be more than 30% of the station's budget to go towards upgrades and new music and stuff like that. So you can donate pretty much any amount that you'd like. Well, literally any amount you can like, rather online on cjam.ca, or you can reach out to us for a form if you'd like. Again, any amount makes a big difference, even if it's a dollar, believe it or not. But from $10 and up, you get a lot of cool incentives. $10, you get a pin. $20, you can get some music from the CJAM Music Store. And, of course, we get... Oh, this is a cool one, actually. So for $25, you can get the 35-year documentary on a USB stick, actually. So Smashing All Preconceived Notions is a recent documentary made about CJAM and the history of it, and even features Joe Bolin. Holy mackinac, he was here on Wind City Sports as well. Not a big deal. But for $50, you can get that CJAM t-shirt, make a new t-shirt every year. And if you're interested in more, give me a shout out. It can always help out the boys and girls with some merch. And over $100, you get a CJAM gift package, everything above, plus a local business incentive. So if you listen to CJAM, or if you listen to Wind City Sports, and you're supportive and you want to donate, reach out to cjam.ca or at cjamfm. If you didn't know, the student initiative pretty much nicks their 70% of their budget, and we look to gain 30% through this fundraiser, which honestly you don't always achieve, but this is the one time of year that we reach out to people. And if you're still listening to it at this point, then thank you so much. And if you ever listen to the show, thank you. I do it for fun, but I need the support of the local community. So that is it this week on Wind City Sports. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here with a brand new episode of the podcast and the radio show every Thursday. Check out CJAM 99.1 FM on your radio, in your car, anywhere you go, on Thursday at 12:30. And replays on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. for the Wind City Sports radio show. Features parts of the interviews from the podcast, local sports news, and some sick music. We also have brand new episodes of the podcast every Thursday dropping here on windcitysports.com or anywhere podcasts are found. Find us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, at @WindCity_sports, or simply search up the Wind City Sports podcast. Wind City is all one word when you're trying to find us, whether it's on the podcast or social media, WINCITY. And you can follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram, @DrakeDeMore. But until next week, smell you later.